Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the fourth session of the class. Today's topic is, as I announced the last week, is Parami or Paramita. Let me get the word on the board. That's Parami or Paramita. Parami pronounced P A, which is long A, R A M I, Parami, and O Paramita, P A, A long A, R A M I T A, long A, Paramita. Again, Parami, P A, that's A is long, pronounced longer. Then R A M I Parami. Then the next word is Paramita, P A long A, R A M I T A long A, Parami or Paramita. Now, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, we started this class. Successive themes in the Buddha Dhamma rather than Buddhism, because we want to avoid the ism part, which also says a lot about Buddha's teaching being a philosophy, a religion, a faith, etc., a culture. Whereas when you use the word Buddha Dhamma, that is purely the teaching of the Buddha as depicted in the Pali Canon. So for this class, we are using all the terminology that we use for this class comes from the Pali Canon. So all the roots and all the terminology that we use are Pali. So, and then we had three sessions. First one was on session one was on Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, the triple gem. Second session was also on the same topic, we continued. And then the last week, the third one we had on, what is that?
Enlightenment.
So we discussed the theme has been, yeah, the theme has been enlightened. That is the main theme. And all the others were like sub-themes or sub-topics, right? So today's sub-topic is Parami. O Paramita. Now, the usual English translation of Parami or Paramita is perfection. That's the usual English translation, perfection. However, you could come up with a different translation. Now, so first of all, let me read out the whole list of 10 paramitas. There are 10 paramitas as told in Pali Buddhism or Theravada Buddhism. In Mahayana Buddhism, there are six paramitas. However, whatever the rest in the Theravada tradition is included in those six paramitas again. So that's the point. But we wouldn't touch on that today. It's a different, way different subject when it comes to paramitas in Mahayana Buddhism. We might touch on that maybe at a later date, in a later session. So, for recording purpose, first I would read out the entire list of 10, because there are so many people learning from the recording. So, here are the 10 paramitas or paramis. First, dana, D A, long A, N A, dana. Number two is sila, S I, long I, C la, L A, sila. That's the second one. Third one is nekkamma, that is N E, K K, H A, M M A. That's N E, K K, H A. MMA, Nekhamma. And the number fourth, Panya, P-A-N, with the diacritic mark tilde on top, and again repeat, again N with diacritic mark tilde on top, pa, then A, long A, Panya, that's the fourth one. And the fifth one is Virya, V-I-R-I-Y-A, V-I-R-I-Y-A, Virya, that is the fifth one. The sixth one is Kanti, that is K-H-A-N-T-I, K-H-A-N-T-I, Kanti. Number seven, Satcha, S-A-C-C-A, S-A-C-C-A, Satcha. And the number eight, Adhitthana, Adhitthana, A-D-H-I-T-T. You put a diacritic mark dot underneath both T's. The H-A, long A, N-A. A-D-H-I-T with diacritic mark dot underneath. T again with the diacritic mark dot underneath. H-A, long A, N-A, Adhitthana. And the number nine, Metta, and everyone is familiar with that. We very often hear that word, Metta. M-M-T-T-A, long A, Metta. And the last and the number 10, Upekkha, that's Upekkha, U-P-E-K-K-H-A. U-P-E-K-K-H-A, Upekkha. If I go through the list one more time, Dana, Sila, Nekkhamma, Panya, Virya, Kanti, Satcha, Adhitthana, Metta, Upekkha. So I haven't mentioned the corresponding English translations, because we need to, as we continue, we need to discuss these Pali terms one by one with the most appropriate and the relevant English translations. So today, given the time, we should only be able to discuss probably three paramitas max. Maximum maybe three. Now, let's first look at the etymology of the word paramita or parami. So the word paramita, this comes from, there are two related roots, or is rather is not related roots. It could be, it is considered the same root but pronounced differently, as two different base words. Base word is better than root. There are two base words. That's called para, P-A-R-A. One word is para. The next word is para, P-A-R-A, para. And then the second word is P-A, long A, para. Para, para. This is a grammar lesson. Of course, I like grammar. This etymology. Etymology is a must when you learn the Dhamma without distorting it. Right? Otherwise, when you rely on translation, because different people do translation different ways. So here, the base word is para and para, these two words. Now, para, para and para have the similar meaning. So, parami is the superlative. It's a superlative form of param, para. So, para, the superlative is parama. Para is the normal base word. Its superlative form is parama. Parama means supreme, excellent, zenith, the best, the top. That's what parama means. Parama. You say parama satya in Pali elsewhere. The highest truth. So parama. Paramatta, you are familiar with in Buddhist. We will come back to all these. But don't worry about this. Which I have to say quite spontaneously, will come. We will come by those words again and again because this class is continuous. I anticipate being able to continue up, at least up to 20 sessions, maybe. So once in a while, I will take a break because I have to go back. And come back and we will continue. So that Sheena is, and Mr. Gamini Amarsekara Gam and Sheena, they are collecting also, Amal, we are collecting all the recordings. You can later on share them. And so always, I would always recommend that we listen to these recordings again and again. Sometimes, every time you listen, there'll be more questions. More questions, more curiosity. So I still at times go through the lessons that I learned as a novice monk, as a teenager. Sometimes I say, 20 years ago, I didn't get that point. I must ask my teacher again, like that. So the parama is the superlative form of para, the base word. So the parama. So the word, parami comes from the parama then. Now, parama means supreme or best or excellent. Parami is what makes you supreme, what turns you into a supreme one, what makes you a supreme one, what makes you an excellent one among others. So which is then it is something to be practiced. It is a policy, it's a principle. So parami is what you practice so that you can become excellent, supreme, the highest among many others. Just to say in the simplest English. So that is what parami is. There are such 10 principles, 10 things that you have to. So that is why that perfection is the generally accepted English translation. Perfection. And I think last week also we happened to say that strictly in the Buddhist philosophical sense, there's nothing called perfection, right? But that's a different story. So based on the absolute truth or the highest truth, I said, there's no doer of karma. How can there be karma then? But it's very different because Buddha's teaching has two levels, the absolute level and the conventional level. Now, the absolute level, on the absolute level, so we simply talk about how enlightened people see themselves and the world. Whereas on the conventional world, Buddha talks about the way unenlightened people see themselves and the world. That's a big difference. So we are not supposed to rush to comprehend the teachings of the absolute level unless you are enlightened. I don't know in your case, I'm not enlightened yet. So most highest teachings of the Buddha comes to me as a theory because I'm yet to experience. So sometimes I try to understand the highest teachings in a logical way, in a rational way. Sometimes once in a while, deep in my meditation, I would see certain realities that I have never seen in books. So that's how it is. So we will also, as we proceed, we will also discuss different other areas. Probably all the same ideas we would discuss on a different level in the future, because all these terms are applied on different levels to mean something different all the time. So now parama, and the next word is para. Next base word is para. Now the para, P-A-R-A, para. That's word means, that means good, obey. And para means far, farther, farthest. And opposite, show. So now I have looked into maybe around 30 books on paramitas. So always the common definition of para and para is, excuse me, that para and para comes from the same root, whereas para has a slightly different meaning. That means far. Now that's the way you can very easily remember that. Para, far, farther, farthest. Maybe conventionally between time and space. For example, if you, when you talk about a remote planet in the remote universe, in the cosmos, so that's the farthest. So so that is the para. And when it comes to the idea of samsara, samsara and nirvana, so we use the imagery of samsara and nirvana. In the imagery of samsara, nirvana is on the opposite shore. So you have to swim across the sea, across the ocean to get to the other shore. Now, culturally, Buddha would always compare samsara to the opposite shore, the opposite river bank, opposite shore, because there are so many rivers in India. Most of the time, Buddha would give a talk, do his teachings on the bank of a well-known river. And sometimes Buddha would point to the opposite bank, river bank, and say, you need to cross to the other side. And that would be, that when you cross, then you will go to Nirvana. So that is why that we use that imagery in the Buddhist teachings. Now, para is like far, or also means crossing over. Para implies crossing over to the other shore. Crossing over to the opposite shore. Nirvana is on the opposite shore. You are on this shore, on this side. So you are in samsara. Across the river, across the ocean, across the body of the water is the other shore. And that is where the Nirvana is. So I remember one simple lesson one of my teachers gave when I was months after my ordination. When he took me to a to show me to a river in southern Sri Lanka, and there was a tiny island in the middle of a wide river. And then I still remember when he told me that there was a boat service. He told me, I still remember, he told me and other samaneras, other novice monks, now, if you want to go visit that tiny island, there's a temple on that island, you need to use, there's no other way but to use the boat. Now, but not many people can travel but that tiny boat. And then he also reminded, and so the way Buddha has explained in his sutras, how Buddha has compared our crossing or our effort. Our effort for enlightenment, awakening, is compared to rafting. So, and he said, "Dharma kullupamango bhikkhave dhamman desissami." So, dhamma is like a raft that you use to cross over. So, and that he also reminded me that analogy. Now, it's always nirvana is compared to the other shore, the opposite shore. Meaning that implies that you are on this shore, that you are still on the shore of samsara. Nirvana is on the other shore. That's what para, means. So para and para. Now, so again, the term, the translation perfection. Almost every scholar have translated as perfection in terms of supreme or excellent. That's why perfection is there. You become perfect. Again, if we continue the words, the same word, perfection. Now, what is perfection then? Perfection is, elsewhere you see the best synonym. Emptiness is synonymous with perfection. The Buddhist term emptiness is synonymous with perfection, or perfection and emptiness are synonyms. Perfection, in our imagination, perfect means something full, right? Full. That's the sense that the term perfection gives us, full. There, so the full is the opposite of empty. But in Buddhist, in the Buddha Dhamma, perfection means emptiness. But that is contradictory. It seems contradictory. But in fact, unless we specifically define the word emptiness, you wouldn't be able to understand why perfection is synonymous with emptiness. Now, empty, in the simplest language, means your mind, your being, your mind becomes completely empty of all the burdens, all the kilesas, all the defilements. When your mind becomes fully empty of defilements, and your mind is empty. Now, that is why also always there's a theoretical problem with the English translation emptiness, which is, of which the Pali word is sunyata, or in Sanskrit, shunyata. Sunyata is you. N with tilde on top, A, T, A, long A, sunyata, or shunita, S, U, long U, N, Y, A, T, A, long A, shunita. Sunyata or shunita. This word means emptiness. If there's a certain topic of which there has been the most highest number of books written, and which has given me the most, which has confused me to the more highest extent, it is any books on emptiness. So the scholars struggle to explain emptiness, but as per the etymology was the sunyata, your mind becomes completely free, completely devoid of defilements. Defilements. So we will have two or three lessons on defilements. There are so many defilements. According to the general Buddhist scripture, there are about 1500 defilements, 1500 defilements. We are never going to discuss them. But again, all these, each and every one of those 1500 defilements, each one would manifest in many other different ways. So there's numerous then. So however, we will have two sessions on defilements, kilesa. So sunyata, for now, let's understand that emptiness here means our mind becomes, upon getting enlightened, our mind becomes completely empty of defilements, so that our mind will never ever get adulterated again, contaminated again. Never, ever. So that is what sunyata means for now. Otherwise, if we start another discussion thread, we wouldn't be able to continue with this topic. So let's stop at that point. Now, any question short regarding the etymology? Maybe one or two questions. I will get only quick answers and we can continue. Yes.
I just wondered, is paritta like related to paramita?
No, that's a different prefix.
Okay.
That's started pari. That's a prefix pari, pari, meaning entirely. Entirely, para, pari. Parito, which gives you protection from all around. Protection in its entirety means parita. Good, thank you. Yes. Now, let's start the first one. The first one is dana. DA, long ANA, dana. Dana. It comes from the root da, to give. DA, da. I know everyone suggested that we also learn Pali at the same time. Right? You can collect all these root words and terms. Maybe in the future, probably we will start a Pali Sutra Club. I had a Sutra Club in Canada and the US. It's very fun. Sutra Club. We get the popular, more accurate English translations, and also the etymology from Rhys Davids, Dr. Rhys Davids Dictionary, and most probably the best translation by Bhikkhu Bodhi, and then the Pali text. And we always highlight the Pali, important Pali phrases, and we will use the corresponding English translation from translations with the etymology, and we discuss. So we'll plan maybe next year. So when I said that next year, recently somebody we were having a discussion on emptiness, and she told me there'll be no next year. Philosophically, I said there'll be no Upananda as well. So the first one is dana, DANA, dana. It comes from the root da, da, to give. So it's giving, liberality. That's the word, giving or liberality. May I erase these terms? Dana. That's dana is comes from the root da. Now, dana. There are three words that we're going to discuss today. Dana, adana, and upadana. Dana, the first word. There are two other words that we're going to discuss. Adana, that is A long A, DA long A, NA Adana. So Adana, this is how you form the word Adana. A long A plus Dana. Adana. And the next word is Upadana. That's UPA long A, DA long A, DNA. UPA long A, DA long A, NA Upadana. That is Upa plus A plus Dana. It is a philosophy class or the math class. So Upa plus A plus Dana. Note the word Dana here. Everything is Dana. Dana here. Dana. So all these three words we need to discuss, have a fair understanding of the first parami, dana, giving or liberality. Now, dana is giving, meaning you share something that you have. That is the first. There's a clear reason why Buddha included dana at the very first paramita. Why is that? Remember the last week we talked about the identity of sentient beings. What is sentient being? The Pali word for sentient being, we discussed that. Satta, right? Satta or sattva. S-A-T-T-A or S-A-T-T-V-A. Satta is Pali and sattva is Sanskrit, meaning attachment. Satta or sattva means sentient beings. We are sentient beings because we have senses. We have consciousness. So the beings that have consciousness. Now, trees also, trees and plants, they have also kind of consciousness, especially according to Jainism. According to Jain belief, trees also, upon that they come back to life. So, and Buddha rejected that. However, they also have a life, whereas as human beings, we have consciousness. So that's why we are sentient beings. Even microorganisms are sentient beings. They can feel. Like we talked about amoeba, right? They also have feeling, and there are certain, but they are called single cell organisms, probably single chetasic organisms. They only have one mentality. So animal psychology, so the Buddhist teaching of animal psychology is also very important. Maybe in the future, there are so many things to discuss. Now here, Satta or Satta means sentient beings. Now, what is our identity? Satta literally means attachment. So, I can define myself without referring to what I like, what I prefer, what I need, what I want. Needing, wanting, preferences, likes, and all that refers to our attachments. So, those are the phrases that we use. We use those verbs. I like it. I prefer it over something. I need it. I want it. It's mine. All those phrases and wordings imply our attachment. That is our identity. And we also discussed on the first day, we also discussed sattva and bodhisattva. Remember? Sattva is normal sentient beings driven by attachment. So, and a sentient being itself is an entity of attachment. It's like a machine. So what we produce is the results of attachment all the time. We produce results of our attachment. And bodhisattva is the only way to counter your sensory attachments. Bodhi, and you adopt a different kind of attachment. Attachment to bodhi or enlightenment. Hence, bodhisattva. Sattva. Sattva is the being. A being that aspires to attain enlightenment. Awakening. So that is the bodhisattva. Remember the couple of words that we discussed. Bodhisattva and bodhisattva. Now, we went back to the word. Sattva is, that is our attachment. Now, in order to reduce, unless we reduce our attachment, we wouldn't be able to reduce our defilements. Unless we reduce our defilements, we wouldn't be able to get closer to awakening or enlightenment. So the best way to do that is to practice generosity or giving. That is why dana has become the very first paramita. And it is the hardest one. That is the most difficult one. Dana, giving, sharing is the most difficult. And you can very easily justify your inability to give because you had a lot of sacrifice to earn a penny. How could you give it to someone else? Right? So no. So that's how it's understood. So that is why in Buddhism there's no commandment. Like, you must give. There's no such thing. As we said, the kind of auxiliary verb that Buddha has used in his expressions, you would give, you may give, you might give. Nowhere has he used, you should give, you must give. You can suggest. If you work on your own enlightenment, share what you have. That would be the wording that you would use most commonly. So, now, dana is then giving. So, that is why dana is the giving is the hardest thing in our life. So that's why it's the most difficult one, but that is the one that we are supposed to start with. We have to practice, start our path to enlightenment with giving. Otherwise, there is no way to reduce our attachment. That's why you give. So that is the first one, dana. But we would need more time to discuss the other two words, adana. A D A long A D A N A. Adana. Now, adana literally means grabbing. To grab. Adana means grabbing, pulling towards yourself. Adana means grabbing towards yourself, pulling towards yourself. That is what adana means. So that is the opposite of dana. We are always in the business of adana. That's the only business that we do in our day-to-day life. Every moment, any given moment, our business is adana. So I know one business person, he became a monk in the US many, many years ago. He's still in robe, and he used business terminology too. I still run business, Bhante, but I don't want profit. But however, I keep losing. As I run the business, I keep losing continually. And that business is adana business. So I will never make my profit. So my investment is, I have invested in enlightenment. So however, it looks like it's very unlikely that I would get it. So he uses business terminology in teaching. I like that. Business people get that then. So adana is grabbing towards yourself, pulling towards yourself, embracing it, calling it yours, adana. A, the prefix A, mean coming or towards yourself, A. When we talk in, there's nowhere related to this lesson. In Pali, when you talk about a guest, you always use the word in Pali starting with prefix A. Guest. Guest is someone coming towards you, meaning guest. Coming.
Guest.
Guest. Someone. You are having a guest today, meaning someone is coming. One who comes to you is a guest, and it starts with always with A. Anything that is coming to you, attracting towards you, pulling towards you, comes with A. A, meaning towards yourself. So, adana means grabbing towards yourself. You grabbing. Now, that's what we usually do. That's our business, as I said. Now, you need to counter adana. In order to counter adana, you need to practice dana. But giving, Buddha has compared dana, practice of dana, to a battle. So you have to fight with your attachment to give. And Buddha says, dana ncha yuddha ncha samana maho. And he says, dana is compared to a battle. You have to battle with your defilements, because attachment has no, but you have no yes, no I must. So that's why he says there's an inner battle that you have to fight within your mind to give. That's why he compares giving, effort of giving. When you try to give, it's like you are in a war, in a battle with the enemy of defilements. So asavas, they always come, defilements have many different words, but for now, you have to fight with asava. There are a few different words for defilement. For now, we will only use the word English term defilement, because that's the English term that I have repeated many times now. So there are different words for defilements. Asava and kilesa. A long SAV asava and KILESA kilesa. Klesha, asava. But asava makes more sense. Again, his R. A also means coming, means active. Always A. Asava. Sanskrit word is ashrava. Ashrava means flowing, streaming, drizzling. When you light a candle, you see the as candle continually burns, you see the wax drizzling down the candle. So it's like a flow. So it's always, there's a attachment. Defilements are like a flow. They continually flood your mind. They start flowing and they become a flood. You get your mind flooded with defilements. That's why they are called asavas. For now, forget those Pali words, asava and kilesa. I simply got them on the board just to show you. We will only stick to the English translation, defilements. And defilements is what contaminates, right? What adulterates your mind. Now, the next word is upadana. Now, it is still connected with adana. Now, you grab something towards you, pull something towards you and say, let's say, there is this phone and it belongs to someone else. Now, when I see this phone like this, it's not mine.